Immersive cultural enrichment on board and on shore. Freshly prepared regional cuisine. Viking sails the rivers of the world and takes travelers to the heart of iconic destinations. Discover more at Viking.com.
Learn how to plan, invest, and live smarter with the Raymond James For What It's Worth podcast. Featuring insights from leading professionals, you'll get the latest in wealth management, market commentary, and engaging research. Listen today at RaymondJames.com/podcast.
Memories like voices that call on the wind. Methyl and quince, whispered and tossed on the tide coming in. Methyl, oh, methyl and quince.
I'm Jace Lakoff, and you're listening to Masterpiece Studio. Another season of Poldark has come to a close, and lucky for us, all of our favorite Cornwall couples feel a little more settled. Well, almost all of them.
March is not so far away.
Unless it comes sooner.
What?
The child.
Aside from the fact that Elizabeth might be pregnant with Ross's child, by the end of the second season, Dwight and Caroline had rekindled their romance, and Ross finally realized how much Demelza meant to him.
So he realizes, you know, what's important, why he needs to stick around, what he's here for, and what really matters to him. And it's her.
Today, Aidan Turner returns to the podcast to recap the Poldark finale and to take a look back at all of the big moments from season two.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
How does the unexpected death of Francis shape Ross in the back half of the season?
I don't think he'll ever get over it. You know, I think he feels hugely responsible for it. I think he's reflected on it to go, God, why did I give him such a hard time? You know, why did I lose those years? What have I gained from all that? If I knew he was going to die this day, he would give anything to get those years back, I think. And yeah, it's huge for him. And again, like the death of Julia, I don't think he'll ever really get over it. I can see him being tormented for a long time. You know?
How does Ross change over the course of the second season?
There's a lovely. I love the story with Dwight and Caroline, and when the penny kind of drops with Ross, that, you know, I think, you know, Ross is sort of emotionally quite inarticulate, and I don't think he quite understands what it is and how he feels and why he feels it. And when he sees what Dwight is going through with Caroline and how she's helped him out. And I think he sees a lot of his early relationship with Demelza here. You know, he's slow to come around to it, but it's starting to make sense now. And he's seeing the person he's been, the choices he's made, the way he's treated her. It's all kind of slowly kind of clicking into gear. What's the character called in Usual Suspects? What's his name?
Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, he's having that, like, those final beats where it's just like, you know,
sees the Kobayashi.
The Kobayashi, falling. That's the word, yeah.
Yes.
It's all sort of, it's falling into place, you know, the jigsaw puzzle is, the pieces are starting to slide in together, and he's realizing how much he relies, trusts, and loves Demelza.
I came to see that if you take an idealized love and bring it down to the level of an imperfect one, it isn't the imperfect one which suffers.
And that's a huge jump for him. That's massive. I mean, that's something that up to that point, I don't think he's had a grip of. That's what'll be interesting, I think, to play in series three. I mean, knowing that, understanding that, being there, it'll be nice to start from that moment. And that's very maturing sort of attribute to add into his skill set, I think.
He tells Demelza at one point in this episode that Elizabeth has a hold on him because she was his first, his sort of first perfect, untouchable love.
That's right.
Is that why he's so torn between these two women? The sort of realness of Demelza versus the fantasy of Elizabeth?
I think there's a lot of that. Yeah, the fantasy. I mean, he's put her on this pedestal for years. I mean, he's idealized her when he was away at war. You can only imagine the situations that he would have been in. And I think that was his escape, you know, closing his eyes at night and just thinking about when he gets back home, that's the first face I want to see. He created this entire world for years, and to not have that when he came back, I think he just rattled him, you know, he didn't know what to do with his life. I think a lot of things didn't make sense and were meaningless at that stage. You know, he needed to start from scratch, and Elizabeth offers, I think, something very different than Demelza does.
Long before I set eyes on you, she was my first. Perfect. Untouchable. Love.
Whereas I am dull, imperfect, and ordinary.
Not ordinary, but yes, imperfect. Human.
Demelza, consequently, what does she represent to him with her, quote, imperfect realness, as Ross claims, and his true, real, and abiding love?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you're good. You're good. I need to watch this show. I think he sees, like, if there's such a thing, and I kind of hate the term, but it's like there's a soulmate sort of quality to them, you know? They're like, it's the two peas in the pod kind of thing, you know? I think he sees the love even himself in her. You know, he sees somebody that she's real, and she cares about the important things, and it's not about status or money or, you know, what you do for a living. It's about how you treat other people and where your respect lies and how big your heart is. You know, she's no walkover.
She's got a mean left hook.
She's got a mean left hook.
Why do you feel that Demelza tells Ross about her near tryst with Malcolm McNeil?
After the ball, Captain McNeil came to my room.
How could he dare?
Because I invited him. After your antics with Elizabeth, I decided I might have a turn myself.
Is she trying to drive Ross away to get even with him or to truly end their marriage?
I don't know. It's probably a bit of both, you know. And just honesty. I mean, why would she, if she doesn't tell him, she's lying. I mean, why, it doesn't seem like it's in Demelza's nature to be untruthful, you know. So it's probably all of the above, you know. It's I love that story too, you know. And she's, when that scene on the beach, I don't know, you know, clearly you've seen it.
I do.
But it's lovely, and her makeup is running down her face.
She's wearing the red dress,
and they have that moment, and she asks him, you know, do you love her? And Ross says, I don't know, but you know, there's real love here, you know. It's there's a bond that's kind of, I think, unbreakable with these guys, you know. But you know, they've certainly tested it.
I mean, Demelza goes along with his many schemes this season, even at the risk of his imprisonment with the smuggling operation.
Has he come in here?
No one's been in but you, sir.
He's headed in this direction. He'll be somewhere about.
How dare you come breaking in here? My husband will hear of it.
Well, surely I trust.
He does manage to avoid capture thanks to some clever concealment in the secret hold.
The cache.
Yeah, the cache underneath the floor.
The man cave.
Does he take Demelza for granted, or is she just secondary to his own desires and drive? And I ask this thinking of that scene in episode 6 with the stockings, which I think might be the sexiest scene on TV this year.
Oh, you reckon?
Yes.
Oh. I think he does. Yeah. I think a lot of the time he does. And he needs to check himself, and then, you know, then he pulls out moves like buying those sexy stockings. But again, it's a part of Ross where, I mean, I love it about him, but he feels like, I know how to make this right. I know how to solve this situation. Just drop by the haberdashers and pick up some sexy sell stockings. Doesn't make everything right. And he can, you know, he knows when he's mucked up as well. I think, you know, it takes him a while, but he can figure it out. And that's where we see Ross grow all the time too. I mean, these scenes are important. I mean, that's part of human nature. Sometimes the people that are closest to you, you sometimes take for granted, and it takes something sometimes quite big and quite dramatic to happen, you know, before you think, oh God, I could lose this person. This might be, I can't take advantage anymore. I can't believe I've treated this person this way for so long, or whatever it is. And that's why it's going to be so much fun to keep, you know, to play him in season 3 and see how much he's grown and to see what we've learned and see how he's changed, you know.
Before this next question, a brief word from our sponsors. Ocean voyages, expeditions, river journeys. Viking is dedicated to bringing travelers closer to the destination, offering a small ship experience and a shore excursion in every port. Learn more at viking.com. Coming up next on Masterpiece on PBS, Mr. Bates vs. the Post Office continues Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, followed by the finale of Alice and Jack at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central.
George and Ross have gone from being slightly weary of each other, rivals, to loathing each other.
Mm.
He tries to blind Ross at one point.
I know, it's vicious, isn't it?
It turns very, very vicious. Which do you think seems to anger Ross more, that George is in possession of Trenwith or that he's in possession of Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's just got to be both, isn't it? I mean, it's great. I mean, George does it very well, doesn't he? I mean, to nail both of those things, to move into Trenwith House, this house that Ross has been in since he was a child. I mean, you know, he has the portraits are on the wall of his family, and he's been, he would have courted Elizabeth at one time there before he went away. I mean, he would have had so many moments here. It really gets to him. I mean, the question is, you know, where's George's agenda? You know, does he really love Elizabeth, or is he trying to get it? You know, how much of that is real? I don't know. I don't know. It's a bit both, isn't it? It's a lot of both.
Now, you do have those two fantastic fight scenes with George. And in the first, as we said, he almost gouges out Ross's eyes. And the second, Ross gets back at him by pushing his face into the fire, which is pretty amazing. What was it like shooting those very physical scenes with Jack Farthing?
It's great. I mean, I was talking about this earlier, but you have that moment before, you know, you rehearse a lot of it. You only kind of shoot a couple of takes because you end up wrecking the place, and the reset probably takes a long time, and there's breakables and there's all these kind of things going on. And if you get a bit complacent or lazy and you miss by, you know, an inch or two with a punch, you're breaking somebody's nose. I mean, that's not a fun place to be at. On the receiving end, or if you're delivering that, it can be an awful. I've been there before. It's great, but you have those moments right before the clapperboard comes on, and you have this, like, you know, you have this, these 5 seconds before your director or your AD calls action, and you just both kind of look at each other and you take a breath, and it's like, here we go, sort of thing. You know, good luck. it's always a lot of fun. I mean, I've always had fun shooting the physical stuff. I mean, even since even for the Hobbit stuff or whatever it might be, it's something I've enjoyed. I don't know, I like a scrap, I like a good fight.
You're an action guy.
Do not give this man reason to see you hang. You have families, wives, children. They are worth 10 of this sorry excuse for a man.
I want to talk about my favorite scene from the season, which is the riot scene at Trenwith, in which Ross shows up at the very last second to sort of defuse the mob that have gathered.
It's the two pistols on the horse.
The two pistols on the horse and the fire. Sure. And what was it like filming that scene, which ends up being such a pivotal moment for both Ross and Demelza?
A lot of the time the vast majority of the time, you play these scenes and it's like, you don't feel like you're in a show. You know, you don't feel like you're in this world. You're not playing style. You don't think, you know, I'm in a period drama for BBC, you know, I'm in a tricorn hat and the boots are on and stuff and the waistcoat. You're just doing it. It feels contemporary, feels real. It's our world. But that was one of the scenes that I thought, like, every time I rode in, it was hard not to think, you know, it doesn't get more kind of heroic than this. Mm-hmm. You know, it just felt epic, you know. It was fun to shoot. I mean, and that was one of the last days. I remember it being quite difficult to shoot, actually. For whatever reason, Seamus, the horse, he wasn't too happy. I think I was a bit stressed out or something, but he just kept moving. He couldn't hit the marks. When I would turn around and speak to the crowd, he just wanted to he was getting busy, and I got frustrated, and Eleanor got frustrated at me because I was like pulling on Seamus a bit much. And I think me and Eleanor had a little spat. There was a little kind of a, there was a moment we had together. She was like, don't pull on his reins. I'm like, I'm not pulling on his reins. You know, we were screaming at each other for a bit. But she was right, you know, she was totally right. I was being a total and but I do remember that scene being epic, and I think, I mean, I haven't seen it, you know, you're the one to tell me, but I think we achieved what we set out to achieve mm-hmm. with it. It felt right. And that gorgeous moment when he offers her his hand, and we think it's going to be Elizabeth, right? And that he's here to take away, and he hops Demelza on the horse, and they sort of ride into the sunset, and it was lovely to play all that.
One of the things I love about that scene is he doesn't look back.
No, he doesn't.
He rides off. It seems very intentional that he doesn't look back at Trenwith as he goes with Demelza. Is he speaking the truth when he says that Elizabeth won't come between them again, as he promises to Demelza?
I think he believes that at the time, yeah. I think he absolutely believes it. But, you know, it's life. Life kind of offers all sorts of curveballs, doesn't it? I mean, who knows what will happen? I mean, Ross is kind of, he can be quite irrational in thought sometimes, and he can, he's never really on steady ground, is he, when it comes to matters of the heart.
Elizabeth is pregnant, and Agatha believes that it's Ross, not George, who is the father. Would that knowledge have changed Ross's decision, do you think?
I don't know. I wouldn't think so. It's such a tough call. I don't have an answer for that. I really don't. I could speculate, but that's all it would be.
Maybe he's just got kids all over the place.
Maybe he does, with little scars on their faces.
The second season ends with a gorgeous scene of Ross and Demelza kissing and then staring out into the ocean as the Navy ships leave for war without Ross. How should we read that scene? Is it a moment of peace for the couple, or perhaps are there rough waters still ahead?
I think, again, it's sort of both, isn't it? I mean, I think they're both unsure about what's ahead. You know, I think their intentions are right and they're with each other. There's a lot of relief, I think, in a lot of ways that they've managed to reconcile. But yeah, I think there's a lot of doubt. I mean, still, you know, there is rough sort of times ahead, I think. And Ross realizes that it's not going to be easy. But I think he knows that if Demelza is around, if he has her, and if he manages to not muck it up again or do something, because I think he knows in his heart of hearts that he does have a habit of ballsing this up a little bit, and he's not going to get another shot at it. So it's I think he's slightly, you know, he's scared. I think he's slightly terrified that he might lose her now. She might not always be around, and if she's not around, I think he'll crumble. He's a mess, you know. He's not going to. I don't think he'll ever pick himself up again if she leaves. So. Yeah, it was a fun scene shooting, actually, because all that is going through your head, you know, at the same time you're thinking of all of that. There's comfort, but there's also there's a certain amount of, I suppose, trepidation or fear there.
You know, what is it that truly prevents Ross from rejoining his regiment? Is it Demelza? Is it duty? What is it?
No, I think it's Demelza, isn't it? I mean, love wins the day. You know, it's he realizes, you know, what's important, why he needs to stick around. What he's here for, and what really matters to him. And it's her, it's Demelza, you know, it's they're stronger than ever. Well, his love, I think, is stronger than ever.
Ross ends the season in a much better place than he began it, with his freedom, with fortune, thanks to the discovery of Tin and Grace. Is he finally happy, and can he ever be happy? Can Ross Poldark ever be truly happy?
I know. Can anyone truly be happy when you have those things? I mean, I think he sets the bar quite high for himself. I don't think he can. He'll never be complacent. I mean, Ross, I don't think he'll ever sit back and rest on his laurels and go, right, I've achieved that now. Let's just keep that steady. Here's the keys to the mine. Just let me know what's going on with the stocks. He's not. He'll always keep working. I mean, Ross is he's an entrepreneur and he's a gambler. You know, Ross is at heart, he's a gambler. You know, that's what it is. You're chasing copper. You're spending so much money on a punt. It's on a chance all the time that there's something behind that granite.
I'm surprised to hear you're pinning your hopes on Wheel Grace. What do you hope to find there? Gold?
No. Freedom. To call our souls our own.
So I don't think, I mean, that's what excites him. I mean, I think he likes living on the edge. You know, and I know a lot of people like that. And they almost want to, you know, don't press the red button, and you can see their hand wavering over it slightly. And you're like, what are you doing? I thought we were going to be happy now. And they're like, no, I need to press this. I'm pretty sure that there's a bigger prize behind it now. Can he ever be happy? I think Demelza makes him happy. I think he is happy, you know? I don't think he sits down and thinks about that. A lot of people don't, but I think he's happy. I think he's a happy person. I don't know. Is he? What do you think?
I don't know how happy Ross is.
Yeah, right.
He's a dark, brooding figure.
He is. There's a lot going on behind the eyes now.
So season 3 is coming up. You're back at season 3. What's next for you?
What's next for me?
For you.
Well, shooting this series 3, isn't it? I mean, we start shooting, I think we start shooting the day after the series goes out in the UK. I think it's out on the 5th. I think, and we start shooting on the 6th. I think we kick off, I believe, in Cornwall. I'm not too sure. It's a lot of fun. I love it. I mean, I've never had more fun doing a job or playing a character. But it's long. It's a tough one. I mean, I've taken the summer off. I mean, last year I did a few jobs in between the break, and this year I decided not to. I took 3 or 4 months just chilling, just hanging. And it's been a lot of fun. So I feel refreshed going into the series now. I felt slightly burnt out last year. Maybe I took on a bit too much. So we start shooting next month. So I'm going to enjoy the rest of the summer and see more of my family and my friends. And then just kick it off in early September. And and hit the ground running.
Fantastic. Aidan Turner, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Cheers.
Cheers.
While Aidan Turner and the rest of the Poldark crew are hard at work filming season 3, Masterpiece has some great shows lined up that are sure to keep your Sunday nights entertaining. Mark your calendars for Sherlock season 4, premiering January 1st, and Masterpiece's new program, Victoria, premiering January 15th. And you can keep track of the Masterpiece Studio podcast by following us on iTunes, Stitcher, or our website, pbs.org/masterpiecepodcast. You can also subscribe to Masterpiece Studio on your favorite podcast listening app to get automatic downloads of every new episode we release. Masterpiece Studio is hosted by me, Jace Lacob, and produced by Nick Anderson. Alicia Baitoop is our editor. Suzanne Simpson is our executive producer. The executive producer of Masterpiece is Rebecca Eaton. Sponsors for Masterpiece on PBS are Viking Cruises and the Masterpiece Trust.